So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So the two readings we've just heard today are in different ways about judgment and kingship. The Old Testament reading about earthly kingship. And the New Testament reading concerning heaven, the kingdom, and the kingship of Jesus. And both recount the intentions of God, which surprise those who are taking part. In our first reading, we hear of God's command to Samuel to go and find a replacement for King Saul. Samuel can be seen as one of the last judges who had governed the people following the death of Moses. People had demanded a king so that they would be the same as the other nations around them. And Samuel, with divine help, has given them one, Saul. Just prior to this reading, we hear that Samuel is grieving for Saul, and yet we know that Saul is not dead. And I wondered, why would Samuel grieve for somebody who isn't dead? Was he sad because Saul had not lived up to his expectations? Was it because he had anointed Saul against his better judgment, and only because God had told him to do this? And now, God, it seemed, had changed his mind. And then I wondered, well, why did the Bethlehemites and the elders of Bethlehem tremble when they met Samuel? What were they afraid of? Did they know him? Or had heard of him and what he was like? Did they regard him as a troublemaker? Someone who was going to bring trouble to them? And then I wondered what was going through Jesse's mind when Samuel asked to examine his sons in turn. After all, he had not been told the reason Samuel had come there. It just seemed a spur-of-the-moment thing, probably. And what must Jesse have thought when Samuel anointed the son he had not even thought to call from his work, because he was the youngest? And all these questions came to mind as I pondered the reading. And finally, what must Samuel have thought when God said, "This is he," when David appeared? And what did Samuel think when the Spirit of God came upon David as he was anointed? After all, David is not yet king, but the power God has bestowed on him will enable him to do what God wants him to do. See, God doesn't always do what we expect. As the prophet Isaiah says, God's ways are not our ways, neither are God's thoughts our thoughts. Now, in this occasion, God has not chosen immediately a warrior, but he has chosen a young shepherd boy, a shepherd who cares for the family flocks. And he has chosen him to be the shepherd of God's people, emphasizing the caring side of the power he will have. And of course, we see Jesus as the good shepherd, we his flock. In our New Testament reading, we see again God doing the unexpected. He has shown Peter that Gentiles also can receive the Holy Spirit and be as good followers of Jesus as those who are circumcised. There is concern shown by the Christian hierarchy in Jerusalem, some thinking that Peter has gone beyond God's remit in staying with and eating with Gentiles. And then not only that, word comes back to them from Antioch which is in modern-day Turkey, to say that instead of just preaching the gospel to Jews, preaching openly to Hellenists, as they call them, to Gentiles. And they're so concerned, they send Barnabas to see what is happening. And only after he is confirmed that these non-Jewish followers of Jesus are as good, I've got the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God in them, as well as any of the originals. Only then are they pacified. You see, these first followers of Jesus, these ones who probably knew him in his life here, they've got to step out of their comfort zone and submit to God's plan. This new faith isn't just their faith. It is a universal faith for all people. So what can we draw from these readings? I think it is that we should not assume that we know what God wants us to do. God has his own agenda. And our job is to try and fit in with it. In many cases, God uses individual attributes to do his will and to share his plan. It's not always the way others would do it. But so long as what we do furthers God's plan and the harvest it bears is good, why should we query it? The community of Jesus is diverse in many ways, and it is incumbent on each of us to encourage what is being done, although it may not be how we would like it to be. It is important to listen, to watch, and to learn from each other, but not denigrate if it is different to what we think. It is only through change that growth comes. The gospel is spread in many ways and in many tongues. It encourages us to step out of our comfort zones. We live in a world where what is important is image rather than truth. Where the immediate impression is what we are asked to judge rather than the long-term effect. Who is in? Who is out? Not only reflected in our society, but it is reflected in our church as well in general. We do not need to judge by appearance, but rather what is in a person's heart. After all, did not Jesus come to change everything for everyone? Did he not come to serve rather than to be served? Who would have thought that the King of Heaven would come to earth as what appeared to many as just a human, an ordinary human being in a backwater country? But then, other leaders, other kings have long since perished, and their actions have been forgot. Our King is without beginning and without end. And we forget him at our peril. For he is the King we should all be following. Amen.